All right. Thank you for sticking around. Let's pray. Let's pour out the desires of our hearts to the Lord, knowing that He is a Father that's good and wants to hear what His children want. We were in Ephesians 2 in the preparatory part of our worship, or the early part of our worship, and it talked about how the Holy Spirit was a seal of the inheritance to come, and that we were sealed by the Holy Spirit. If we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, shouldn't we not just then be bold to ask our Father? Yeah, so let's pray. Most High God, the heaven and the highest heavens cannot contain you, much less a house built by man. But Lord, you will give your children good gifts. You will consider these houses of prayer that we seek to build here, that will be a mission outreach to our community, that will draw people to hear your word being preached, your sacraments observed, your people living in love and unity. Lord, I pray that you will give us what is best for us. But Lord, please don't spare us from the hardships. Don't spare us from the obstacles, the challenges that would grow our faith. Lord, we just pray for our good in this process, whatever that process may look like. And would you bless those that continue to labor so diligently on the committee? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you for hanging around today. We understand it's Father's Day. We'll make this as quick as we can. And this is not the end by any stretch. There will be more sessions to get together and talk about this as I move through this. Basically, the goal today is to share the committee's work to date on the land development idea. And this is before we really get into deliberations and any type of decision-making process. So this is really just trying to be really transparent about what has been considered so far. And we'll be moving through this process as we get feedback from you, as certainly is the goal here today, as well as in the coming month. And so we don't have a full set of answers, and that's okay. We've talked about every angle of this, I think, at some point, but the truth is, officially, we don't have a lot of answers about things like funding, fundraising, that type of thing, and so we're not really trying to cover that today, just to maybe lower the bar of expectations. What we're trying to really do is help you understand the process by which we thought we would understand the needs of the church and how that would manifest itself and how the land would be developed. So let's go to the next slide. And this is the committee, and I'd just like to thank the members of the committee, as well as those that partnered with us, including Gene Cork's company, for helping with us with construction cost estimates, as well as CDH, which is a firm that we engaged with in order to run through the master planning element to this, and helped with the exhibits that you'll see in just a minute as well. Next slide. We're going to talk a little bit about background, try to keep it as brief as we can. We could go for a long time on that, but just to give you a sense of where we think the congregation is, and then move into this master planning land development exercise, which I think is probably the heart and soul of what we're here for today. Next slide. So just talking a little about history and the overview of the land is important. We can't really do this in a vacuum, and so we want to give just a little bit of context. Next slide. And the key question is, what is the path to getting into space that we either own or have control of, essentially? Right now, we're meeting here, which is a great place, but we have no contract. We're here on a weekly basis. We pay weekly rent. We're getting a little large. We'll talk about that in a minute. And so we have to think about what the next step could be. The other option, which we're not talking about today, is the fact that it may be possible that an opportunity comes up in the community of land that's already built out that we could renovate for our purposes. So that's very opportunistic. It's a little hard to plan for that, frankly. We've done that fire drill probably 5 or 10 times over the last 10 years as an opportunity came up, but for one reason or another, that opportunity wasn't adequate enough for our needs that we could continue with it. So those will continue to come up. They may come to the surface within the congregation if that's what's needed, but honestly, that it will take quite a bit before we get to that place. So do not fear, we will include you, but that's plan B. That's plan that we can't really do much planning for, honestly. Next slide. So just to do just a thumbnail of history, we've owned the land for just over 10 years, and within about 5 years, we were at a point financially where we could not really, in good faith, continue to pay the mortgage because of where Christ Community was. And so there was a period of time where the land was for sale, and some of you may remember several meetings that we had as a congregation where we were talking about signing a contract with a developer who wanted to buy it. None of those came to fruition. But in the process, we received quite a bit of money through those contracts that allowed us to keep the land, frankly. So we would expect that is God's provision for Christ Community Church in a way we didn't expect. After a couple years, our congregation had grown. In fact, we had essentially doubled in our average attendance over about 4 years. We realized we didn't have to have it for sale anymore, so we took it off the market. And at that point, the developer next to us decided they were going to launch, and they asked, well, are you guys selling your land? And we said, no. But we decided to sell 2 acres to them at that time. This is just a year ago that transaction went through, because we felt we had perhaps more land than what our programming needed, and we thought, well, it's probably better to reduce our debt and to do that transaction than to hold on land that's actually not going to be available to us or as a sellable piece later on. And so we come to this point where the land has been paid off. That occurred in January. And at that point, the session said, let's set a vision, let's set an idea for what it means to develop the land. And that's why we're here today. Next slide. As you know, this is the Ben Robertson Center. It's about 2.2 acres, so that's kind of a number you should keep in mind. It's got about 100 parking spaces. We can put about 300 people if we really, really stretch it in this room. And that's where one thing we're starting to bump up against over the past year, and so we want to be aware that's happening to us. What's also important to realize is the City of Kennesaw will be building a recreational center across Park Drive over the next 2 years approximately. And at that point, it may be likely that they'll renovate this building. Now, this is not funded, and we should not be overly concerned, but it's just another reminder that we don't have a contract here. And if they need to renovate, we would probably not have the opportunity to use this building. So it's another good reason for us to be thinking about what the next step is. Next slide. Now, this is the property we own, and it's just under 6 acres. So this is about 2.5 times the Ben Robertson Center property. And it's right across from Swift Cantrell Park. Most of you have probably been there before. There's nothing on the property right now except a cleared area, which you can see in the yellow in case you've been on the property, to maybe give you a sense of scale. And we've got 2 neighbors. We have the Cantrell Crossing developer south of us. That's who we sold 2 acres to last year that I mentioned. And we've also coordinated with them significantly in terms of the utility needs we have, because this area of Kennesaw has some utility challenges. So we've actually benefited greatly from coordinating with them on several fronts. And then there's also a small piece of property along Rutledge Road, that triangle, that's a rental house that I'll be talking about in just a minute. So this is the neighborhood we've got around us. Next slide. Cantrell Crossings developer has cleared the land. If you've driven by, it is vastly changed, but it remains simply dirt at this point. They have not proceeded with building 70 townhomes, but that will probably be coming next. And this is the view from Rutledge Road. And if you drive by, just take a look, and you can then see kind of the backside of where our property goes. Next slide. So that's the background. Now we're going to get into the master planning exercise. And I want to just emphasize, this was an exercise. We're not done. But this is really the first point of completion where we can come back and say, based on needs, this is what things may look like. And there's plenty of variables left to talk about this. So although this might look really exact, don't be fooled by that. Actually, the tools that the people we worked with have available, they're just really good at this. So you might get the feeling this is all design, and that's not true at all. We're just starting to get going. Next slide. And basically what the committee was charged to do is to run through these questions. Before we start developing anything on the property, what's our programming needs? What's the target we're trying to fulfill through developing the property? What's the maximum build out that this property can handle? That is, the pieces, parts have to go somewhere on the property. Let's do it well so that we don't start building and realize, well, that should have really been built somewhere else. And then the third step is, what does phase one look like? What does the phase that gets us moved onto the space and gets our programming needs met? And then finally, you know, what does that cost look like? So that's the short outline of the steps we were taking. And the committee worked over the period of about 3 months and had 5 meetings with our partner, CDH, as well as with leadership in order to kind of build this out. Next slide. So, you know, the first question is, what is our programming needs? And to keep it really short, we felt that Christ Community Church and how we are operating is not to become just the bigger church over time. We feel that once we get to a certain size, it's time to think about church planting as opposed to simply building a bigger facility. So that's kind of step number one. And then the question became, well, if we're building the first phase, what size is that? And really, the size of the worship space and attendance is really what drives everything else that goes along with that. So phase one, our target is a facility with seating for 425, and then for full build-out would be a seating for 600. Now, these sound like just numbers, and in some ways they are, but we're trying to react to the fact that where we are as a congregation right now, we want to leave a little room for growth, but also leave room for the final build-out as well. So these are the targets we were using as a committee. Next slide. And the outcomes of this, to put it briefly, are the land can't support our programming needs. There's really no problem with that. We're very grateful for that. And you'll see those things in just a minute. Secondly, we met with the city of Kennesaw to allow them to speak into what we're doing. I think they're very favorable to our general approach. This is, again, beginning of the conversation or restarting that conversation. And we heard some important things from them. And then thirdly, what does this look like as you spread it over the land? And that's really what we're going to spend the rest of the presentation time on, is looking at some of those early ideas. Next slide. So this is an idea of the master plan. And I know this information is a little small. We're going to be posting this presentation on the website. But also, Jared's going to be setting up some boards over there that allow you to take a closer look. And you can take a look at them now. You'll have opportunity to look at them later. But essentially, when we start looking at the campus master plan, we got to talk about the things that really consume the most property. First of most is parking. That's probably about half the property. And after that comes the building footprint, and after that comes where we need to detain water on the site in order to meet the regulations. So those things are kind of illustrated there. You can see the triangle property, the rental property as well. From an access standpoint, we'd probably have a driveway on Main Street as well as on Rutledge Road. And I just want to focus on the Rutledge Road thing just for a moment, because if you're familiar with Rutledge Road and Main Street, it's kind of a hot mess. Rutledge Road is a very skinny little street, and people get all hung up trying to get on Main Street. So we know that's an issue. And so if you go to the next slide, we have the opportunity to possibly back that driveway farther away from Main Street, which is what the city would like. I think it'd be very wise for us to do. And we do have the opportunity to talk with the owner of that rental property in order to back that driveway off. In very preliminary conversations, this person's very happy to talk with us about anything, in fact. And so we're grateful for that. And I guess this is the one thing that we felt was kind of a flaw to our property, was access. And this is one way we can start to mitigate some of the challenges we may have with access to the property by vehicle. So again, very short description. Jared, if you can start putting the boards up, and again, if you can't see this and you would like to look closer, feel free to get up and look at that. But this kind of confirms that we can fill the space with the stuff we need. Next slide. And then also to start looking at what the facility would do, once you enter the building via the lobby, straight ahead would be a worship center seating 425. On each side of that would be some classrooms for more adults and older kids to use on each side of the sanctuary. And then there's also a wing to the left where there would be more the secure children's area so that we're able to control the flow of people into that corridor where there's the nursery and the younger children and so forth. So this kind of helps, gives you maybe a sense of scale a little bit in terms of the size of the worship space versus the classrooms. We also have room for a pantry, which is more of a staging area for food and other things like that. And in a minute, we'll see how this fits into maybe the bigger picture, since this is the phase one. This is what we think fits the needs of the church initially upon moving out of our rented space. Next slide. So the red things on this slide are beyond phase one. And so we have the opportunity to build a wing off of phase one to the left, the red blob, as well as in the middle, we could continue building classrooms down that secure hallway if we felt we needed more space of that type. And then to make the worship center get to 600 seats, the red sections each side of the worship center area would basically be knocked out. The classrooms would be replaced with seats for the ability to seat 600 people. So that's a really quick walkthrough, and you can take a closer look if you'd like. But we're trying to make this scalable and to be able to tee ourselves up for the size of facility we need for the build-out. Next slide. This is a rendering of what could be. And architecture is actually important. I know we may dismiss it a little bit, but this is also a gateway to the city of Kennesaw. We think the city will be very aware and will be providing input on visuals. But also, I think it also represents what Christ Community Church is. And as we were working with the committee and with CDH, you know, they came up with this, and when we looked at it, we were like, yeah, that looks like Christ Community Church and what we would want to show ourselves as to the community. So again, there's nothing sacred here, but I think over the last 10 years, we haven't been very robust about sharing, what could something look like. And so we really wanted today to give you something you can walk away with that gives you the sense of what our committee work brought about, as well as a visual that helps you maybe get a better sense of scale and what this might look like. Next slide. These are just some real quick renderings inside. And again, this is not a lot of money. This looks all polished and perfect. The truth is they've got tools that can make these really quick. So we left them black and white. This would be the inside of the lobby. This area is about the same size as what we have for the entire lobby area behind you in the Bon Robertson Center, just for scale. And you can see down the hallway that would lead to that secure children's wing as well. Next slide. This is inside the worship space, and what we're just simply trying to illustrate here is there would be a portion that is classrooms initially in order to reduce the amount we need to build outside of this area. But then, next slide, when the next phase comes, we could take down that wall and then use that area for worship space, again, as a way to stage up the facility in a way that would be useful to us. Next slide. So now we get to this part, and I just want to emphasize we're not committing today, or at this point there's no commitment to fundraise $4 million and spend $4 million. But we wanted to let you know what you just saw does have a price tag. And thanks to the folks in our congregation as well who play in this market, it's really helpful to know where we are in this area. As you see around the metro area, construction is at a feverishly high level. So if we were to break ground today, which we're not, of course, it's probably north of 4 million because of that high level of construction activity. There's many variables that go into construction cost, and too many for even to start trying to sound educated about. The truth is, there's many variables that can come into play. But again, in order to give you a sense of where we are today, this is probably a good reflection. Even things like the fact a hurricane comes through has a major effect on what the cost of materials is for the next year after that hurricane. That's exactly where we are right now in Georgia. We can talk about facility size, we can talk about materials, we can talk about building types. All those things affect the maintenance of a structure, its intended life, and so forth. So again, lots of variables. We're just trying to be really upfront and honest about what the number would look like right now. Next slide. So here we are, and I've just thrown a whole lot of information at you, and I apologize profusely for trying to fit this in 20 minutes. Again, this is where the conversation starts. We'd ask that you pray about this, not just for a building, but for the vision of Christ Community Church. We're at a point where we're financially healthy, and we have no debt, and we really think it's wise for us to know what does building the land look like and be ready for what that means. And the opportunities for you will come probably in July. We have set aside 2 Sundays in July, and there'll be more information on that where you can come before the service, share your comments, and so forth. All through this time, please write on the comment cards or send me an email, which you'll see in a minute. If you have questions or comments, we definitely want to hear your feedback. And then for leadership, it's to be listening, that we would listen to the congregation before we start the deliberation of any kind on decisions, and then also come back to the congregation after the elder retreat in August with more information as we wander through this process of determining what God's will is for us right now. We had the benediction earlier today, and the words I just like to focus on is the all generations. It's really easy to think of this as what's going to happen in the next 5 years, the next 3 years, what's it all about? And really, I think what we need to be thinking about is what is ministry at Christ Community Church looking like over 30 or 40 or 50 years? And the people that went before us and built buildings did the same thing. And that's, I think, more the perspective we should probably have, rather than getting all worried about the details of, am I going to like it? And are we ready? And what's the financial picture look like? And things like that. Next slide. So this is my contact info. These are the members of the committee, if you'd like to talk with them. Just a little known fact, perhaps, is that the fund for raising money, as it has been for a period of time, is the Permanent Facility Fund. That's the official name. And while we haven't been promoting that heavily, you can expect that as we think about these things, that will become more advertised in the near future. So that's the presentation. Again, use connection cards for comments. You can send me an email, call me up, talk to the members of the committee. And at this point, we're going to take questions. And again, feel free to walk over and take a look at exhibits if that's helpful to you. Yes. Yes, there is. The question is there money in the Permanent Facility Fund? There is. I think it's in the order of $40,000, something in that general area. $48,000, right. Joe.
More of a comment, I guess, than a question. I noticed in our discussion, the $4 million wasn't just for the building. It was actually the building and the contents. So it's more or less a turnkey price instead. Sort of like buying a house and then having to furnish it, the whole thing. That price included everything. Yeah.
That's right. We're trying to roll it up into a single number, and there's all kinds of costs that come along, just not digging and not just building facility. And yeah, thank you.
I was wondering if the money that we were collecting to pay off the land, if that, now we don't have to pay that every month, is any money being put aside every month into this fund?
Yes, we do set aside, and honestly, since the land was paid off, we haven't redone our church budget, so we now have opportunity to do that. So the answer is, yeah, we can redirect more in that direction, and we'll be resetting the budget at, per our normal process in the month of August, starting with the new year, starting September 1.
$2,200 a month that we were putting into the debt retirement on the land is currently going into the fund.
I hate to ask this because I might have just missed it, but the slide after the 4.1 million slide, there was a bullet point about community resources.
Yes.
I just want to know what that was.
Okay, so there are certainly contractors who are willing to work with churches and, you know, do things approaching at cost. We have people in our congregation that are in that community. We don't want to take credit for that right now, so we're not saying, well, we're going to save so much. But as we wander much closer to the construction aspect, we hope that we will be able to engage with contractors, whether it's a small piece of work or a large piece of work, that can be more favorable in terms of cost. So thank you. That was an excellent question.
So from the green light of the project to us actually being in there for service, how long do you think that would take?
Right now it's, I would say, a minimum of 2 years. If we look at a fundraising, get to a go decision, then construct, and how much longer than that, I wouldn't want to, you know, posture, but I would say it's a minimum of 2 years, simply looking at the minimum steps needed to walk us through that process.
I noticed in the phases that a youth room is not in phase one, so is the intent that youth would still meet in somebody's home? I'm sure you expected that question from somebody.
So there's a couple different options. The church building itself could certainly be used, like those classrooms could be used. There are other things we're talking about, and it's simply we're just not ready to go there. But we're aware of that's a critical need, and we simply have options at this point. There is also that leased house that could be available should we want to purchase it and use it for that purpose. That is another day, another discussion, but it would help us to start using the property, so to speak, as opposed to being satellite work, you know, around the metro area. Wow, this is great. Maybe it's shock value. Maybe we did a great job of just shocking everybody. Wow, okay. So again, I want to thank the committee. I want to thank the leadership under which we were working with the charge. We definitely have more runway in front of us. Again, this is the beginning of the discussion. Thank you so much for coming. Unless there's any other questions, I'm going to close with prayer. I'll be staying around as long as you want to stay around, and feel free again to take a look at stuff that you probably couldn't see very well up on the screen. Any other questions? Oh, thank you. As you walk out, you can receive an FAQ that is probably helpful, not so much on the raw details, but kind of on the things surrounding this. So I'd really encourage you to take that, to read it. We will post information on the website, since I didn't expect you to scratch on all the details as well. So thank you, John. All right, let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you for hearing this morning about your spiritual house and for the temple, that you are the cornerstone, and all that imagery that reminds us that someday we will worship with you and you will be among us and there would be no temple. Lord, in this place, in this time and space, Lord, we still need building. And Lord, we know that you are the great giver. We know, Lord, that everything is possible with what you provide. And Lord, may we remember that this is not about Christ Community Church in the next 5 years, but this is about your kingdom and about how your kingdom will grow in Kennesaw over the next 50 years. And Lord, we pray for wisdom. We pray for vision, that we would not be tangled up in details at this point, but remember first and foremost that you are in control and that you will guide and lead us where we should go. Lord, on this Father's Day too, we pray that you would help us to trust in you as our great Father, that we would not consider this as work of our hands. Lord, we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.